Welcome to the Making Better Bovine Babies podcast, produced by Repro 360. Proudly sponsored by Vetoquinol, our mission is to help accelerate the rate of genetic gain across the Australian cattle industry. We're thrilled to be able to share with you some of the stories, knowledge and expertise from our cattle vets and producers around the country, as well as some insights from our own team. We hope we can inspire, educate and at times entertain you as we delve into the fascinating world of making better bovine babies. I'm Rebecca Arnott, and today I'm about to jump in the car, or ute actually, and hit the road to Charters Towers with my super friendly, cow-loving colleague, Julie Pocock. And given there's no better way of getting to know someone than spending a few hours in the car with them, I'm springing this one on her. She's driving, so she can't run or hide, and she's really bad at staying cross for very long, as well as being on mute, so I'm hoping she doesn't mind too much. Julie, forgive me for the short notice, but I was thinking it'd be a good idea to do a short series meeting the team, particularly our wonderful territory managers. What do you think? There's nothing like the present, is there?
I'm stuck with you in the car, Beck, so we may as well.
All right, good on you. Tell us a bit about your journey prior to joining Vetoquinol. A few decades in a couple of minutes.
That's right, a few decades in a couple of minutes. Well, personally, being a fifth-generation cattle producer, I think it's obviously quite a natural progression into a role like this, and certainly a dream role for me, given my background and passion. But professionally, I kicked off after school as a vet nurse, working in an exotics clinic, doing small animals and exotics in Toowoomba, and spent 13 years as the head surgery nurse and practice manager there. So got to see a wide variety of different species, from zoo animals through to everybody's, you know, favourite dogs and cats. Following that, I went on to work in a companion animal and then equine role with another pharmaceutical company. So that was my first role in this side of the industry in a sales rep territory manager role. And that progressed into another livestock role. And then when the opportunity with the Vetoquinol was presented to work not only in a cattle role but a cattle repro role, it certainly was, the role I think that was most suited to me, and have really enjoyed my time so far.
I know you as someone who seems to love her cows as much as your kids. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, there's certainly a few special ones there. And, my husband definitely knows where he stands in the pecking order when it comes to a few special show cows. But, they definitely do get to be very much part of the family when you have a few show ones.
Rumour has it you've won a grand champion cow at the ECCA, and I recently saw you win champion Simmental cow at Beef Australia. That's quite an achievement. How did you get into the business of breeding better bovine babies?
Well, look, I suppose was born into it. As I said, being fifth generation, cattle have always been in the family, but my parents kicked off our Simmental stud about 40 years ago, actually. So it has been a long-term involvement in the breed and something that I've always been very, very active in. And I think sort of started being responsible for joinings from about the age of 12. So it was with our whole herd being all artificially mated. So we AI everything, and we do utilise a few in-house bulls, but the majority of our cattle are bred through AI. So that's something that certainly helps us, whilst our numbers aren't huge, to maintain quality and be competitive with the big boys. And, yeah, it's great to be recognised at that royal show level when you're competing at some of the biggest operations in the industry and at what should be the best the industry has to offer. It's always very humbling and quite rewarding when you get those wins.
What were some of your initial objectives when you took on Ellendale?
Well, look, it's certainly mum and dad are still involved, but from a direction point of view, about 25 years ago, I made the decision and certainly had a lot of apprehension from dad to change the direction of our breeding program and utilising some AI sires that were very, very different. We did cop a lot of criticism from most Simmental breeders at the beginning. And when we started breeding the solid reds, as they were very different to traditional Simmentals. So it was certainly a big decision to go down that path, but one that certainly paid off for us. And seeing a lot of the industry now coming in our direction over the last probably 5 years, you know, 20 years of breeding, we've now heard of the solid red ones. So that was probably our biggest objective to start with. But for us, we try to breed really commercially minded cattle. Structural soundness is the key objective. Structurally and reproductively, the cattle have got to be sound. So that above all else. And we also need to maintain the performance that a European breed like the Simmental is noted for.
You said you breed nearly all your cattle through AI programs. Do you actually do that yourself, or do you get someone in to do the work?
Bit of a combination. So everything is either AI or ET bred at home. Apart from, as I said, we did breed, import some embryos to get a herd sire with some new genetics. But no, I do AI, but I don't. I'm probably not that good at it. So a lot of the time for me, it's great to use wonderful technicians and vets. Because those guys know what they're doing, and by utilising somebody very experienced like that, it allows us to maintain really good results. And that's important when you're using expensive semen or when you're playing with small numbers and even large numbers. Every single calf counts. So the better the results, I feel, you know, for us, whilst I do the majority of the setup work, having a great vet come in and do the actual AI and then obviously doing the ET, the egg retrieval, and then implanting to our donor into our recip cows certainly is, yeah, the best way for us to get great results.
I'm sure you've learned quite a bit through your successes, and I don't like to use the word failures, but the challenges along the way. Are there any ones that stand out either way?
Look, from a repro perspective, who'd be in repro? You know, there's so many different factors, and I think that the biggest thing, the biggest learn, we've had, you know, times where we've gone to run an ET program and retrieve no eggs off of, you know, four donors, and you assess those failures and go, okay, right, where can we change things? What's, you know, where have we made a mistake or possibly just not done things to the right level, and then realise that, you know what, sometimes things just don't work, the cows just don't respond. And so that's probably the biggest thing, is having our expectations set with a bit of reality. And then when you get those great results, you know, when you do the AI program and you get that, you know, amazing 90 to 100% take rate, those wins are really, really well rewarded. But you aren't aiming for that. You're sort of having a great expectation. So I think that's probably the biggest learn over the time, and also making sure that when you're selecting things, selecting good fertility and making sure all of those other boxes are ticked, nutrition, and, you know, drugs administered correctly, everything done cleanly, all of those things have a huge impact. And I think fine-tuning those processes over the years have helped to get us to get better results each time.
And I suspect those things are the type of advice you give to people who are running an AI program for the first time.
Yeah, definitely. I think getting good advice from very well experienced and very knowledgeable people in the industry, getting help, don't being afraid to reach out to the likes of myself and saying, we haven't run a program before, or this is the issue we had last time, what can we do differently, or what can we try to increase our numbers? And sometimes an increase of 5% is really, really within reach, but you might not have to do that much to get that extra 5%, and sometimes just health checking your reproduction programs can make a big difference in your results.
And for those that have been doing it for a while, are there any tips for how they could fine-tune their program or improve their results?
There always is different things you can try. I know we've been using a different protocol recently that I really like. It's a newer protocol. It's different to some of the older protocols and the original ones. And I like the protocol. I think it works really nicely. And, you know, so even though you be, you know, might be very experienced and getting good success, I think that same thing happens. You know, let's health check your protocol and see if there's ways that we can tweak it or things that we can do and add in there. If you really want to get results or get better results or have a go at getting better results, it definitely helps to get somebody with great experience to have a look over your protocol and how you're doing things, and not just your protocol, but everything else, I think, makes a big difference.
So just on protocols, I know there's quite a range. How have you decided which protocols to run with, and have you tried a few different ones over the years?
I think we do a different protocol, a couple, you know, over the different programs through the year, depending. And I think that comes down to there is no one size fits all, and it's really important to make sure that you've got the best protocol for your situation, and that could be completely different to your neighbour. So, like I said, we run a particular protocol when we're synchronising recips with our donors versus when we're running an AI program. So those two protocols are different. One is a reasonably standard protocol with our recips that matches in nicely with our donor protocol. And then when we're doing an AI, we've been running with a J-Sync protocol, which is different again, really liking it and getting good results with that. So that's where I think it's important to realise that it's not just a simple, this is a protocol, this is what everybody does. It's really important to make sure it's a right protocol for that mob of cattle, even to that, you know, doing a different protocol for your heifers versus cows, versus wet cows, versus recips and donors. So a really good place that I find to get that info is on the Repro 360 website. You'll actually see all of a big array of different protocols on there. So the J-Sync protocol to a standard 3 or 4 handling protocols. And it's a great resource that splits it out for Bos Indicus versus Bos Taurus cattle. It obviously has the donor protocols on there as well. So it's great. It's really easy to follow. And it's just under the 4 vets tab and common protocols. And you can scroll through there, dairy versus beef. All of those protocols are in there, including an EU accredited protocol. So it's quite a great resource and a great place to go and find out what those protocols look like.
As well as being a mother to 2 beautiful little assistants, you work as Vetiquinol's Northern Territory Manager. You touched on that earlier, but tell us a bit more about what is the role of a Territory Manager, and is there such a thing as a typical day or a typical week?
The positives and the negatives is no, there's no typical day or typical week. Sometimes that works in your favour and sometimes not, especially come spring breeding when things get a little bit hectic. But so looking after the north, which is basically Sydney north and across into WA, it's just a little bit of the country. And the difference in the cattle is just a great example of the difference in how the territory works and what people's breeding objectives are. But yes, no, there's a bit of travel involved, and on a typical day can be anything from being in meetings with our awesome vets and techs that use our products to help producers get their best results, and giving them updates on what products we have and things like that, down to on farm setting up protocols and talking to people around what they're currently doing and where they can do better. So doing that technical help at that level, to the fun part of my day where I get to jump in at actual set of cattle yards and assist producers in setting their cattle up and training their staff to make sure that everything is done like clockwork and all of the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, so that we can try and strive for the best results for every single protocol that we do and program that we do. So it's very, very varied and very different. There's a lot of travel. I get to see some amazing operations and be involved in helping some people really get some great results and make those better bovine babies, because that's all, you know, that's where we're all aiming, is the more baby cows we get on the ground, the better for everybody. So results are great and we want to make sure that everybody's doing that. So that's probably the big crux of my role as a territory manager, is basically technical and field support, and whether that is from a vet to a technician to on farm to the producers and in behind a crush putting in devices. So,
and what about from an R&D perspective? I know Vetiquinol invests a huge amount globally in R&D. Do you get involved in that side of the business?
It's certainly something we're always on the lookout for great opportunities and where we see holes in the business, or you know, products and things that would be great to complement the rest of our portfolio. So that obviously is always information that we're feeding back. And as you mentioned, being an R&D company, so we're not a generic company, and we're a company that does invest a lot into research. And you know, we have got a great amount of research data on Australian beef cattle, especially beef cattle in the north, with Sophia Edwards being our marketing and technical manager. Her SOFS PhD was done in the north on synchronising cows, and, you know, that data is Australian, and it's great that we've actually had those trials done, and we love getting involved. We've just been involved with the MLA trial with Enoch Bergman from Swans Vets in WA, looking at the AIing and what's the upside to AIing heifers in a commercial operation. And any of those sorts of research projects, I think it's great. You know, we're a company that invests very heavily and backs any sort of research that's going to give us information to better the protocols, to better the results, just to, you know, put AI at the forefront and show producers where it fits and how it fits. And especially in the beef industry, you know, it's so vast. And how can we include AI in those, you know, big, extensive operations? And, you know, we've got the data there, we've got the experience, and it's great to work for a family-owned company that is also an R&D company. So, yeah, it's a great company to work for.
Better Keenol's been working hard to invest in partnerships with some breed societies and breeding services. Would you like to just touch on this a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's these partnerships are forged out of the fact that we want to see people's programs succeed. So any way that we can be partnering with breed societies as a resource for their members, it's something that the breed societies can then, you know, offer to their members. Say, here's somewhere to go where you're going to get really good technical advice. We don't sell direct. We work through their suppliers. So we're not about saying, you know, you have to use this or do this. It's about working one-on-one with those members through their breed societies, giving them the correct information, because we want them to succeed, you know, and that's our passion and our belief is from the Repro 360 team, is it's important for somebody to do an AI program and get success wherever possible. And so for us, that's through education, that's through showing, you know, the latest research, the latest information, and also really sound scientifically backed information to make sure that people are making the right decisions. And so by partnering with breed societies, by partnering with, you know, different providers in that repro space that are specialists in that area, it allows us to be another arm of their business, I suppose, that they can offer to their members or to their clients, as they're, you know, obviously just as passionate as we are about making sure that programs are a success, because it means that people will continue to utilise artificial insemination within their herds and really understand the benefits of it, which is why they do it in the first place. But it's important that you get results, because if you are new to the industry, you're new to AI, and you have a poor result up front through a lack of support, then that's going to mean you won't come back. So we want you to succeed. You're putting a lot of time, money and effort into it. And so as a partnership, we can help those breed societies and help those breeding companies to support their clients and make sure that they get success. And so that's where the partnerships are forged from. And it certainly is, I think it's a great thing. It's a great thing for everybody and for the industry as a whole.
Julie Pocock, you've been a very good sport. The road's a bit bumpy. We're getting close to charters. So thank you very much for your time.
No worries. Thanks, Beck. It's been great to have a chat. And, you know, we're pretty passionate in this Repro 360 team. So, you know, we definitely are very passionate about the industry and passionate about helping people get results. So don't be afraid of, you know, anybody to look us up on the Repro 360 website and get in touch.